Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 5 of the Life Experience Podcast. Today, our guest is my cousin. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Ellie, and I'm a senior in high school.
So, has anything special been happening lately?
I guess I'm graduating tomorrow, I think, which is pretty special. Completing my last year of high school, yeah.
So, are you excited? How's the journey of high school been for you?
I think it's been really a roller coaster because I feel like I've been a different person each year I've been in high school, and I think it's changed me a lot. Because 4 years like can either sound like forever, but also it goes by so fast. But I think I didn't really know who I was, I think, in freshman year. And then high school kind of guides you into the person that you're meant to become before you enter college, or like what they call like just entering the real world. So, yeah.
So where are you going for college?
I'm going to the University of Florida, which is in my hometown. So I'm excited.
What's your major?
I'm public health.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to tell them what schools you applied to and like what was the process for that?
Yeah. I applied to only 5 schools.
5.
It was Florida State University, mm-hmm. University of Florida, University of North Florida, University of South Florida, and then one out of state, which was UNC Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I kind of just dove right into the process because I didn't really know what was happening. I kind of learned as I went. And I didn't really know where I wanted to apply to at first. So I was kind of mindlessly doing like Common App, which is like the general essay that you have to give or if they require it. But it was interesting trying to figure out where I wanted to apply to and where I would actually see myself and which places that I thought would be worth applying to. But I think my reach school was UNC Chapel Hill, and like all my safety schools were just the ones in Florida. But yeah, I can dive deeper into the process if you want.
Yeah. So I heard you got into UNC. That's mm-hmm. big. Out of state. Mm-hmm. What's the percent chance for that? Like the acceptance rate?
I think it's like under 10%. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Why do you think you got in? Like what stood out in your transcript?
It's a great question because, like, I wish they would be able to tell you, like, why, or, like, they give you, like, a report of, like, why they were interested. But I don't know. I was super surprised. I think they have kind of a holistic view of your application, like UF has. Like, I think they look at my, like, academics and also, like, what I do outside of school. And honestly, I think my test scores weren't too bad. So I think that was like one of the things. And I also think they liked all of the extra curriculars that I had and all my volunteer work that I do. And yeah, I don't know. People sometimes have mixed reviews on whether or not your essay has like a big impact. And I would think it does. Like I poured my time into my essay the most, I think, which was like, it was like the most strenuous part of the application process. So I think it definitely did matter. I think it was like a whole combination of all the things that I have. I know one other person that got into UNC at my school.
Really?
And we both had the same kind of involvement, same grades. She's my close friend, so it was really cool. But she actually got into honors, which was really cool and so hard. But I definitely think they look at both like your academic excellence and what you're involved in outside of school. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so UF is a great school,
mm-hmm.
and UNC, if y'all didn't know, is basically like a sub-IB, right?
Yes.
Out of state is basically the acceptance rate of a sub-IB, and that's crazy that you got into it. But talking about essays, like, are you open to say what it was about?
Yeah, I can talk about that.
All right.
I think it was kind of random, because it's supposed to be like a really personal topic, or... If y'all don't know, like, the Common App has, like, 7 prompts, but the 7th prompt is, like, write about whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So, essentially, you can write about anything, you want in your Common App, and, like, you can make it into however you want. And I chose origami as my topic, which I don't think a lot of people would think I would do because it's not something like I publicize to everyone around me. It's something private and meaningful, so I kind of keep it to myself. But I talked about origami and then how it helps me still, for over a decade, become like a tool of like calm when I'm facing, I don't know, like tumultuous times. Like, and also it helped me when I got diagnosed with my metabolic disorder, over 10 years ago. Because that was the time that I first learned how to do origami from my good friend. But it was definitely an emotionally impactful essay, I think. And it tied in something kind of unique, like origami, like some, like not some, something that someone would talk about, like generally, and tied it into something personal and actually how it made me a better person and how it helps me navigate life and how it makes me a stronger person. That's definitely something that they want to see, like how,
It affects you.
yeah, and like how you yourself have improved and like, because you know, they're always like, they're trying to see how good of a student you'd be or like why they would pick you, like why you would be a good student and how you're a good person and how you would benefit their campus. So I've tried to like form it to how it's made me into the person that I am, like in volunteering, helping others around me. Because like because origami helps me, I want to share that with other people, stuff like that. So just generally how it ties into all the stuff that I do now. And I think there's so many different things you can write about pertaining that can pertain to yourself. Just small things that you just have to think a little bit more about. Because I had a long list of things that I was thinking about writing, like from like Legos, to like my stuffed animal collection. Like it can be anything. It's just how you format it.
So basically, you're saying what the officers are looking for is kind of more of a deeper level, like what can how that person has developed over time.
Yeah, they definitely like to see improvement or see that you recognize that, I guess. Like how you become like a stronger person and how you recognize and that you know how like you know yourself. They definitely want a strong sense of identity throughout your essay, like you know who you are, and you're not unsure because they want someone who's like firm in their ways, they know who they are and they're passionate. Yeah.
Would you say this is the most important part of like applying to college, just like the essay?
I think the most important part, it's hard to say because I don't know. Admissions officers are like, they're all different. Like they're regular people. Sometimes they're students themselves, so they all have different opinions. And I do think that what captures their attention the most is the essay. Like I think that sticks out more than high SAT scores because from looking at your scores, you're just numbers on a page. You're just presented as numbers versus they get to hear your voice in your essay. So I think it's very impactful. And I think it's definitely worth taking your time on and thinking about and like making multiple drafts and all of that. It's worth it.
So that's where you spend the most time on, right?
Yes, definitely. I like started writing it the first week of June before my senior year because I did this camp from this school, a private school, and it was a really cool guy who was a teacher, and he would teach us how to write, not really how to write, but how like the fundamentals of writing your college essay because there's different. You have to think about different things because it's not the normal, the average essay. You're trying to tailor it to someone to get into their school. So you don't want to kind of butter them up, really. You kind of just want to focus on yourself because you're presenting yourself to them. That's the essay is essentially the only way that you can show your true self to them because other than that, you're just a resume, you're just numbers.
I like how you said numbers on the page because so many other people throughout the nation and like throughout the world that are applying that school have similar scores as you. And just writing that essay, it'll make you stick out as like who you are on campus, like who you are, what you would do for that school. But going into grades, like what was your SAT score and ACT and all that?
My SAT was 1510 on my first try, but it does, it went lower as I did more tries. But for my ACT, my first try was like a 32, and then my last try was a 35.
Oh wow. You submitted both scores?
ACT and SAT?
Yeah.
Yes.
So was UF your first pick? Like, or UNC or like what's a better school?
That's really tough. I mean, personally, like for my major, UNC was the better school. Because UF, they have a great public health program as well, but UNC has this bigger program, so much bigger. It's like ranked in the nation for the best public health programs because it's something I'm interested in and it has so many branches. But I've just grown up around UF and it's in my town and I don't really want to go very far for undergrad. But I also have a full ride to UF because then I would be paying a lot more to go to UNC. So money definitely is a big part of the decision of where you want to go. Because undergraduate debt is like a big issue right now, and it is has been for like my parents, other people's parents for a long time.
Yeah, so full ride. That's pretty crazy. So you
Yes.
got into the honor program as well, right? So why do you think like just your scores and all your extracurriculars and your grades plus the essay that made you like really stick out?
I think so. I think, like for UF, you mean?
Yeah.
Or for everyone?
Just for you,
Because I think for UF, I've had a long affiliation with UF
really?
from Dance Marathon, which I don't know if you know a lot about or your viewers know a lot about, but it's an organization across that spans across the nation, not just at UF, that raises money for children's hospitals and for research and for renovations of like the units and the care units and stuff. And I'm an ambassador for that,
Oh,
specifically for Dance Marathon at UF for 12 years this year. So a very, very long time. I think that was really unique, and I think that maybe helped. That's just like a unique case. Because I know like maybe they saw their name on my application or like my resume and they're like, oh my gosh, wow. But it's hard to say.
did you get rejected from any schools?
No, I didn't.
So, you weren't waitlisted or referred or anything, you're just automatically accepted.
Yes.
So, for all your schools, did you do like besides UF, which you said you had a like a dance affiliation thing? Did you have any like internships or like interviews with any colleges?
No, actually, and I'm so thankful because I was worried about that at first. I don't even think you're supposed to do interviews until grad school, but I think maybe some of the Ivies call you in. I don't know if that's a thing of the past because I didn't apply for any of the Ivies. My friend is actually going to an Ivy, which
Oh,
is really
nice.
cool. Yes. But I think I'm really grateful that I did not have to do an internship. Because I think it just puts people on the spot and it does maybe not present them as who they are, like the true version of themselves. But yeah.
What was your GPA?
Weighted or unweighted or both?
Just both.
My weighted was 4.92 and my unweighted was 4.
So, how many exams? You said you took two exams, right? Two, 11 exams, two APs.
Yes, I at my school we have Cambridge, which is basically a British-based academic company, I guess is what you would call it. But it's a program like AP. It's just based out of Britain or England. But I took two APs this year, three ACE, which Cambridge exams are called ACE. And then one certification course for my health program.
So, what were your exam scores? Do you like you don't remember all of
Oh,
them, do you?
from this year, we don't have the scores yet.
Oh, what about just like from the ones you know that you submitted?
Okay, I think, oh, that's a lot. Last year, I took four ACE exams and one AP. And then, because I have my health program all 4 years, so that takes up a spot. So I took AP Pre-Calculus, which is the first year they did that, and I got a 5. and I took ACE US history and I got an A. ACE exams are on letter scales, so it's an A, B, C, D, E, E being the lowest, and then if you get a U, that means you didn't pass. But each letter means a certain amount of points. So A is like 60 points, B is 50 points, and that all adds up in the end because you have to meet a certain point requirement, I guess. But I got an A on US history, an A on English language, an A on psychology, and an A on environmental science.
So that was definitely a huge part of applying, right?
Yes, I definitely think test scores do matter. Like, I don't think they would accept you if you got all U's on like tests, you know, like on the Cambridge exams. Like, they definitely do look at that stuff. But I think colleges are trying to, at least they're at least telling people that they're moving towards a more holistic perspective of you as a person and not just generalizing you to your test scores.
So, what about your extracurriculars? Do you think you're strong in that area?
Oh yeah, I think so.
Was it like, was it, you want to talk about that, like clubs or
Sure.
volunteering and
Yeah.
stuff?
Like all the things that I did. Okay. It's a lot. I have some advice though in this. I think my advice is to stick to what you're passionate for and just don't try to pile on things just because you want them to see it on your
And
application.
especially not in like your last year of high school.
Exactly. Like, you don't want to do nothing your first 3 years and all of a sudden be a part of 10 clubs, because like they've seen multiple applications, like hundreds of applications just like that, and they know that pattern. Like, you have to, they are looking for someone who's interacting with their community all 4 years and not just to be superficial, only to have it be done, like only to have it seen on your senior year. Because I stuck my main passions are like community service and health, I guess. So my main stuff that I did was Key Club, which is a service club, and I was the president of that. And then Dance Marathon at my high school, which I was the co-president of that. But I was also part of other clubs that I had been in over multiple years. So that would be like Spanish Honor Society, National Honor Society, Mu Alpha Theta, which is math team, coffee clubs. So like, you can have fun clubs. You don't always have to stick to academics. Like, they're, I think they also do like it when they see, I don't know, clubs like that, like fun clubs like Coffee Club or Clay Club. We have like a Taylor Swift club. I wasn't part of that. Just fun things. They want to see people have fun with other things and not just strictly academic, because you know they're looking at you as a person and how you would impact others around you. But throughout the years, I think I've been a part of a lot of clubs, and I think I've dropped a lot, just because I realized they're not serving me, and I don't want to be part of that. It's not who I am as a person, and like in the end, you don't want to overload yourself. You don't want to like stress yourself out.
So I was talking the other day to not a friend of mine, but someone I just met who got accepted into Brown. He went to like
Wow.
Alpharetta High School.
Nice.
And he was emphasizing to me, I was asking him a lot of questions just because, you know, I want to be prepared. He was telling me how important leadership is in extracurriculars and just like in everything. So I like how you said president and like co-president. You think that plays a big role?
Definitely. They really, well, I'm generalizing. I think they do like to see you as a leader. They want someone who, like I said before, like firm in their identity and like can help the community around them have a big part in that. And I think it really did help me be president of Key Club and also Dance Marathon, or co-president of Dance Marathon, because it shows that you take initiative and that you have a mission.
Did you have any like passion projects in your extracurriculars?
I like something that I made. I was thinking about that because I remember in sophomore year, I had a lot of people telling me like, "Oh, you need to do a passion project if you want to get into good schools." But obviously, like, not everyone who gets into good schools does a passion project. So I was like, that seems like a lot, and I already have a lot on my plate because I did a lot of volunteering and a lot of my clubs, and like I've school was like basically my life for a while, and I also have sports. So I didn't, but I was toying with the idea of making like this community service club that was centered around trying to clean up local areas and have them function in use again. And I would like link that with my key club and stuff like that. But I did like have a meeting with this lady about passion projects. But I just realized that I don't really think I needed that, and that I think I was good on my own. So yeah.
So I like how you said, well, you said in sophomore year, you know, you're thinking about getting into good schools. Do you think as soon as you entered high school, 9 through 12, like you were really focused on college or just.
Definitely not. Like, I don't even. That's what I was like saying at, in the very beginning. Like, I don't even. I'm such a different person than I was in freshman year. Like, I didn't know where I was going. I think a big part of that was because I was just coming out of the pandemic, because I was virtual all 8th grade and then going into 9th grade. Like, it was really scary because I bad social anxiety because I was in my room all day for the entire year for 8th grade, jumping into high school. So I was more timid and I didn't take initiative, and like I was just trying to survive, I guess. And just trying to, I guess I was taking it easy is what I would say. And I didn't really start thinking about leadership positions until that summer after freshman year. And I think a lot of that helped or came about because my mom, she was pushing me too. So I think from the help of other people and your support system, that pushes you into the direction of leadership and I guess who I am today.
So, would you say your mom is your motivation for like college, focusing on school so much and everything? You're like a main motivation.
I mean, I think it's my family as a whole. I think my support system, like my parents have always supported me in whatever I do, and I just want to repay them, I guess.
That's true, yeah.
Just to succeed and do well and not disappoint, even though it's hard to disappoint them because they've always been so supportive. And also a big motivation I have is just our grandma Lola, because like she's always been that and upfront like in my life. She's always like pulled me aside and like told me like you're gonna do great things, but I want you to focus and I want you to succeed, and I hope that your mind is in the right place. So she would ground me, and like she would joke and stuff, and like sometimes she was joking, but like I know that she, because she's an immigrant, and so I think she wanted us to have a good life here. And I think putting myself in these positions, leadership positions, and getting into these colleges like helped to like affirm her aspirations that she had for us, because this is what she wanted, and I wanted to repay her for that.
Yeah, Lola's definitely a huge part. So if y'all don't
Yeah.
know, we're cousins, as I said, and Lola's our grandma. Yeah, she's been like, as you said, really motivating. And that's actually, I was thinking about writing my essay on her, because I know she's just been so like motivating and like supportive in anything that we do. And yeah, but for me, I wanted to talk about like. I've just recently like got the bug for college. Like at 9th and 10th grade, I feel like I was so focused on basketball and like getting offers in basketball. And then just now, like later in my junior year, that I'm focused on getting into a good college, it's like I kind of have regrets on that. I kind of wish I focused on it earlier, like you did, but.
I mean, I think honestly, I only really started getting to be how I am to I was just like you. I was like really stressed for college and like was really just wanting to get into a good school. But that was starting like beginning of junior year. I think in sophomore year, I just started touring colleges and I started like, I guess like dipping my toes into like the world of applications and stuff, because I literally did not even know what the ACT or SAT was. I was so confused, even though we took the PSAT. But it was definitely not as involved that year. Like my sophomore year, I was not as involved in like the college application process as I was in junior year, of course, because that's when people start telling you like this year matters the most because this is the last year the colleges are going to look at for your transcripts and stuff, which like kind of gets in your head and starts stretching you out. But I think it's okay to have regrets, but I think that you're doing fine, because some people don't get the bug for college, like you said, until literally like a month before applications. And everyone is going at their own pace. Because like you said, like you're focusing on basketball. Like you just had different priorities, I guess.
Yeah, I would.
And priorities change, I guess. So I think that's perfectly fine. And I think you're doing good. So because like people, like I said, I know that people just all like really last minute realize like, oh, this is my future.
Yes.
And it's important.
Yeah. So did you play any sports or
I did.
instruments, language?
Yes. Well, okay. For in Florida, we have something called Bright Futures. Do you guys have Bright Futures? Yeah. Okay. It's in Florida and Georgia. I have no idea. But it's like you have to have a 2-year language
Oh,
requirement.
yeah, we already
Yeah.
have.
So I did Spanish. And I tried to keep it up, but I don't know, it wasn't really my thing. And then for sports, I did volleyball my freshman year because at that point I had been doing volleyball for like 9 years.
Why'd you
Like
quit?
club. Why'd I quit? It got to be, I just realized I wasn't having fun anymore. I was crying a lot more than I was smiling in the sport. And it really wasn't my teammates. I loved my teammates. It was more so like the mental game and the toxicity of the club that I was at, because a team sport like volleyball, like there's so much weighing, they put so much pressure on you, and some people can withstand that pressure, and that's really good for them. But I don't think that's the environment that I wanted for myself. And I just realized, like after my first year of like school volleyball, because I did school and club, I realized like I don't think I want this anymore. And like my parents let me quit, but if I hadn't quit, I would be stuck there, and I wouldn't have found weightlifting, which is what I did sophomore to senior year. Because after I quit volleyball that summer, I got recruited by my school volleyball coach, to do my school weightlifting. He was a coach of the girls' weightlifting team, which definitely was out of the blue. Like I would have never thought that I would be a weightlifter, but he was telling me like anyone can join. He said all shapes, all sizes, all colors. And I was like, okay, I'll just go to the meeting. And then little did I know, it's something that I think changed my life. And I found like this community that I never thought would have existed. And some people that I'm always going to stay friends with. But it's a completely different thing, because weightlifting, you're one team, but everyone is also on their own on the platform. So it's not like volleyball where there's like six of you on a court and you get mad at each other. Like you're trying to lift your best on the platform by yourself, and everyone around you wants you to succeed. So it's completely different. What, oh, you said instruments as well? Or do you have any questions about sports?
Well, I just wanted to go off what you said about volleyball
Yeah.
and weightlifting. I think you've told me or I've heard that weightlifting is a lot more team-like. Like, it's a good team atmosphere, right? Like, supportive and everything.
Definitely.
Yeah, so for me, I had a lot of history in basketball and, toxicity. I wouldn't say toxicity, but, times when I was younger where people, as you said, blaming each other, and it was really demotivating. And that's actually one of the reasons I used to play soccer. I think that's why I quit soccer. And I almost quit basketball because of that earlier, but I think that God had a path for me, so I kept playing basketball. And God had a path for you, or a path for you to play do weightlifting, which is good.
I definitely think there is some sort of like higher like plan that makes sure that we're all okay. But yeah, I think there's also a lot of stigma behind quitting. And I'm really glad that you didn't quit, because I still think that basketball does serve you. And you've been playing it for so long. I think I just had to quit volleyball because it changed me as a person in a bad way. And I really was not happy. I think I had like really bad mental struggles, and I was it made my day worse. Like I would hate going to practice. I don't know if it ever got that bad for you. I was like trying to isolate myself from the team, and I was just hating it. So I was like, I'm not serving the team, I'm not serving myself. I think it's done. And I was getting told, like, don't quit. You're not really supposed to quit things. But if you can recognize that it's no longer serving you and it's
Yeah.
actually making
You
you,
worse, like you worse, yeah.
because you're honestly in life, you're on a path of self-improvement. And if you're finding yourself, if you're stuck in something that's not helping you or serving you or
Right.
making you into someone that you want to be, I think it's worth just stepping away, because there's nothing wrong with stepping back. If that's what you have to do for yourself, I think that's a good step to take. I think it needs a lot of perspective and thinking. I think quitting like rashly is not necessarily a good idea. Just definitely thinking and dwelling on it. But I'm like I said, like if I hadn't had quit volleyball, I wouldn't have found weightlifting. So it, when one door closes, another one opens, and it
Yeah.
can be 10 times better.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So going back to like extracurriculars and everything, you want to talk about like you play instruments or any other extracurriculars that you would say like played a huge role in your transcript?
I mean, I think, well, when I put together my resume, because that was a part of like a class, it was a class assignment actually. My teacher wanted us to all make our college resumes with him. I put piano on there, and he was talking about how if it's not like really a competitive thing or not like highly academic or something, it's not worth that much. But I put piano on there because I had been playing for 13 years, or was it, I think it's 12 years now. But I think piano, I've been playing piano for so very long, and it's not competitive. It's from this nice older woman in my neighborhood that I've been taking for over a decade. So it's nothing competitive. Like I get participation trophies, I guess, when we have recitals, but it's not like how people hold competitions and there's placing and stuff. But I think I put it on there, and I think it did help me because I did it for such a long time. Like it shows commitment and it shows consistency.
Then you genuinely enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a hobby, and it wasn't something, I think not being competitive helped me stick with it, because it was kind of a self-serving thing. It was like an outlet, I guess. It was something different from everything else in my life, because music is just, it's more artistic and it's less hardcore, I'd say, than all the other like sports or academics. Definitely a breath of fresh air. So I think that did, in a way, help, because it's also versatile. It also added versatility to my application. So it wasn't just rigor academics, but it also had piano. And I also had like a lot of other extracurriculars, like my volunteer work. I can talk about that.
How many hours do you think you have?
I have over 500.
Through
Wow.
all of high school?
Yes, but I
Yeah.
have more than that that I didn't log, because I just stopped logging because I didn't need more. But I think most of my hours came from the clubs that I was in, because my clubs were community service based. So I do recommend that, joining a community service club at your school, because that definitely helps. Because like from Key Club, and like I also have Dance Marathon at UF, which I used all, which I put all of my hours that I would go to like events, I moved, like marked those down on my paper as community service, because I was, that's allowed, because I was serving, like giving my time to the cause. I was also doing other things outside of that. I guess I was like shadowing a doctor, which I also put on my resume. And I also volunteered at the VA over the summer, which is the veterinary hospital, or not veterinary, the veterans hospital that my parents actually both work at. And I would spend my summers, and we had to volunteer for a minimum of 100 hours over the 6 to 8 weeks, which is kind of a lot, but if you dedicate
Yeah,
yourself,
you're committed.
yeah, for sure. And people logged easily over 200 hours, and because they were there every single day, 8 hour shifts, they like committed themselves to that. So that was something that I did, and I think that that on my application did help because it linked to my major, honestly, because I think they like to see how you're building up to what you want to do at their college, and they kind of have they want to see like a main focus on your application, like what you want to do, so it's not scattered. You know what
Wait,
I mean?
so what is your major in?
Public health.
So would you say, so you're saying that like your volunteer opportunities and a lot of your hours related to public health?
Yeah, or like serving people. So I think,
Okay.
yeah, because I think it's definitely good to have like a main focus because you want everything to be more consistent and make it not seem like you're all over the place. But if that's just how it boils down to, then that's just how it is. It just happened to work out for me because my volunteer work with the hospital and also me shadowing doctors that coordinates to what I want to do in the future, like in the medical field. And a part of the medical field is serving others. So it's like a whole lot of community service and all of that, just all pertaining to kind of one goal that I have for myself.
Yeah, so you want to work in the medical field because you genuinely love helping others, right?
Yes.
So I like how, you're saying like you didn't enjoy volleyball. So you went to weightlifting and you didn't enjoy a lot of the clubs, so you mainly focus on like certain ones that would like benefit you and that like you look good. So like yeah, I feel like that really shows who you are, through that and also the essay. I feel like showing who you are in your transcript and like doing what you love would really help you, right?
I definitely think so too, and I think that the admissions officers also see that. I think what's honestly super important, for people like you who are just starting to apply for college, because you just ended your junior year of high school, just to well, also if you're just starting high school as well, like you were saying, I would drop out of a lot of things that I didn't think would serve me. I think when you're gearing up for college, you don't want to just be doing all of this stuff just to look good to one admissions officer. You have to make sure that you're taking time for yourself and what you're doing now will benefit yourself. Because there's you will go to college, like no matter what college it is, you will go to college and you will get the degree that you want. That's the path that I kind of viewed it as. Because like some of my friends didn't get into UF and they were heartbroken, but they're going to this I don't even know if it's qualified as a community college anymore. I think it's like a higher one now, but a college in my town known as Santa Fe. And then after a year or 2 years, they can transfer into UF. So not like everyone has their different path, and they can succeed in the same goal as you, but they just got there in a different way. So I mean, I don't want to say don't stress too much, because I think an element of stress is needed if you're dedicated. Just know that you have a plan. Like there's a plan, a larger plan for you, and you will go to college and you will be okay, and everything will work out how it needs to. And to just make sure that you're doing what you're doing because it's good for you. Maybe it's good for others as well, but you want to watch out for yourself for sure and make sure that you're staying true to yourself.
Yeah, so you were clearly dedicated. So do
Yeah.
you think like will you come home from school every day and study like 5 hours in a row? Like, were you stressed every day, or like how like what was your like schedule to keep the consistency?
Yikes. Well, because weightlifting practice was every single day after school, so I wouldn't get home until dinner. And then after dinner, I would shower because I would be gross from practice, because I'm sure you have experience with that. Like, you just want to get in the shower. And I would sit at my desk literally sometimes from 8 to 3 a.m. just doing homework, just doing the stuff that would be due the next day or enough the next couple of days. And I definitely do not recommend doing that. Like, I have a hard time focusing in school, so it's hard for me to do a lot of the schoolwork that I need to. So when we had a class time to do stuff, I wouldn't be able to finish all the stuff that I needed, so then I would have to take it home and do it for homework. So I think if you can maximize your time in school to do homework, that's definitely something that helps. Because you don't want to stay up until the late morning or early morning hours. It's not good for your head. It's not good for your mind. It's not good for your mental health. It's not good physically, and it's not sustainable.
So wait. Would you
Yeah.
say so 7 hours, 8 to 3? Would you say that's straight studying, or were you procrastinating or like taking big breaks? Or like, were you straight locked in?
It would be straight locked in.
7 hours of schoolwork?
Yes, I think my thing is that I'm a very meticulous studier. I study, like, if there's a textbook, I'm gonna read it several times, like a chapter several times. I'm gonna take notes on it. Because what I do, I try to memorize. I don't recommend this. I like memorize the stuff that I need to know for the test. And unfortunately, it does fade away. And I think that's something that I want to improve on in college. But I think in that time I was locked in. But I think previously, like, I was procrastinating, which made me have to be locked in for 7 hours. You know what I mean? Like, I could have been studying for this test a couple days ago, like from like multiple days from now. And like, I wouldn't be in this position that I would be in to study for 7 hours straight. So I think it's good. I think everyone is going to have their own journey on how to study. And mine is not great. And I think in my senior year, I just, something called, senioritis. It got to me pretty early. So I would just procrastinate and I would end up having to study that much in one night. And I regret it, but also I'm here now and I did what I had to do. But I do recommend studying ahead of time and relearning the material. Make sure that you're paying attention, just that stuff.
So, besides your senior year, would you say you still procrastinated your freshman, sophomore, junior year?
Well, I think I did it less.
Wait, okay, wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't like take notes over a period of days, like take notes this day and then this day and this day and this day. You would just like cram it in.
Well, in class, I would take the notes, right?
Yeah.
But
You would study it.
I would wait to study it because I would like to think that I was learning in class. But unfortunately, my type of learning was like I have to sit down and I have to read it over and over again. But I definitely think I was better at that in my early years of high school. And I think it got to a point where I'm just super exhausted because of honestly all the things that I am doing. It does have a cost on you physically and I guess mentally as well. So I do end up like getting really tired and like burnout my senior year, which would result in me like just resulting into those kind of habits. And I'm definitely was definitely not the only one. Like it was basically my whole entire senior class. And it's sad how we're like being told to be this person like super involved these years, but it does have a cost. It will come back. I will chase you down. And I don't like mean to scare you. It's like what everyone goes through. Just ensure that you take time for yourself and that you get your good study habits now. And hopefully that'll carry into senior year and will help you.
So I think last episode we talked about the importance of sleep, and like 3 a.m. and then you would you like go to bed at 3 a.m. or then get ready to go to bed and like go to bed at 4 a.m.
I would say I would get ready to go to bed and go to bed at 3:30 a.m. I don't think it would take
So are you like, you're like completely exhausted the next day?
Sometimes I had to take a mental health day. Like I would give it to my mom, like I can't do this. But if it was like a test and stuff, yes, I'd be exhausted. Maybe I would sleep in class, but senior teachers are really chill guys. yeah. But it was definitely like 3 a.m. would be the most rare occurrence. The average occurrence rate would be 1. 3 a.m. would be like it's okay, 1 is still really bad because like I would wake up at 7. So yeah, but then I would run on coffee for the whole day and I would be fine. But then it comes back to you. Sleep has to come catch up to you eventually.
So yeah, I think this just emphasizes the importance of sleep. Like it can have a
For
mental
sure.
and physical toll on you. But I mean, even though she was still academically thriving, you would still say it still plays an important role. Like, you would be more benefited if you got more sleep and have better
Definitely.
habits.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Just a lot. It's like a part of self-care as well, because ultimately that's not serving myself at all. It's just my habits of procrastinating, which just got worse over senior year, I guess. Just boiled down to me being up really late at night constantly, consistently. Like, the amount of cups of coffee that I've made this year were absolutely insane, and I'm so glad that's over. But for now, I think it's just really important, if before your senior year, to realize that, like, to recognize your bad habits and to try to fix them ahead of time, because ultimately in senior year, there's like a wave that comes over everyone. Like, this is my last year. I don't need to work as hard. Even though you have to push to the end. You have to make sure you make it to the finish line in time. Just like, make sure you remember that you have to work hard, because it's not over yet. You still have this whole year to complete, and just make sure you're looking out for yourself with those habits, and recognize it early.
I have a question though
Yeah.
about exams. Would you say you crammed for exams, or just because it's like you really did you have like a mental shift where you had better habits studying for exams, or would you say you still crammed?
For exams, I would say, because like, I would already have learned the stuff, I would need to study for it less, I think. This year, I wouldn't necessarily say crammed. I studied in a less amount of time than I would usually do. But personally, I don't think my exams were as hard as they were last year. But I think I did have better study habits for my exams, because I realized, like, this is kind of important. But last year, I definitely had good study habits. Like, I studied months ahead of time, and I had a whole calendar. I made a whole Excel spreadsheet calendar for my studying, like what I had to do each day, and I followed it so strictly. And I think that's why I got all A's on my Cambridge exam, on Cambridge exams. So definitely, good habits pay off. Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's really good that you had good habits, because I feel like so many people, so many high schoolers, especially upperclassmen, have bad habits. Like for my AP exam this year, I took AP US History, which is, I think, is really hard. Like, I think top three hardest AP exam in high
Yes, I
school.
think that's true.
Yeah, so I want to say I crammed it in like the last night, but I definitely didn't study or take notes over time, like over months. So I think I remember I watched the Heimlich history video the
Yes.
last 2 days,
Oh my
and
gosh.
there were like 10,000 kids, or like thousands, tens of thousands of kids all around the world watching his live stream just to review that one topic. So there's certainly, I think it's common for high school kids to like have bad study habits and to cram, but it's definitely a lot better to form those good habits early.
Yeah, they definitely pay off, but I can't even blame people that have that cram stuff in, because maybe I think in the past I've done the exact same thing. But I think, because like, if tens of thousands of kids are also doing it, like, you're not alone. Like, and maybe that's a part of something bigger, like just how systematically the courses are laid out, and like how they expect you to study all of that once again while still learning new material. Because sometimes teachers don't finish their material until literally like a week before the exam. So how are you supposed to study that material for the exam? Because that was one of my main frustrations for this year, because I got a new teacher halfway through the year, which was really traumatic. Like, I lost my favorite teacher of all time to this, like, less, I wouldn't, she was sweet. I would say less, definitely less qualified.
Lost her, like died.
No, she quit. Due to like admin issues. No, Evan, I did not. She did not die. Thank God. But for sure, people are gonna cram. It's a part of the high school experience. If you haven't crammed, then you're like superhuman or something. It just takes. It takes. It took me years to realize, like, studying slower, it'll have less of a mental toll on you. Because I think when you cram too, you get like really anxious, and then you get in your head, and I think that can result in like panic attacks and something, which I have personal experience with. Like, that's happened to me before. That happened last year. So that I learned this year, like, I need to take my time and make sure that I know all this stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
You good?
yeah, I'm good.
All right, yeah, that was really good. I feel like we got a lot of information just on,
Yeah.
study tips, common study tips, definitely, and like college application process. And yeah, I feel like that was a really good episode today.
Yeah.
So thanks for talking.
Of course, that was so fun.
All
Yeah.
right. Thank you guys for listening to episode 5, and I'll see you in the next episode. Peace.